Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble. It's our NXT 2018 in-year review. Yes, we're pre-recording this episode. Mm-hmm. We haven't actually watched the final episode of NXT, which is coming this week, the debut of Donovan Dijakovic. But we are recording this to kind of give a review of NXT in the year 2018, of our Lord 2018, because we're not here. We're not in the studio. We haven't watched the latest episode of NXT, so we just thought we'd pre-record this episode and we'd talk about the year as a whole. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, kind of like look at the lay of the land of NXT 2018. Because I've got to say, I'll kick things off with a big statement. Big, bold statement I'm going to kick things off with here.
Kick the door in with this.
This has been the best year of NXT ever. I'd argue that it possibly would be. I'd always look at, like, 2014 is kind of like my year. That was when I really first got into NXT, yes, like hardcore. I was working freelance as a film critic at the time, so I had Wednesdays usually to myself. So I'd always really look forward to that Wednesday of, like, the latest episode of NXT, when you had like Bayley and Sasha Banks, Charlotte Flair, mm-hmm, Becky Lynch, like the four horsemen just constantly feuding with each other. And you had Balor coming in and Hideo Itami coming in, while you had Neville there and Sami Zayn, Kevin, mm-hmm, Owens came in. You had this really good crop of talent, and it just, like, it was a really awesome product to watch. And I was just like, god dang it, man, NXT is killing it every single Wednesday. This is by far the best thing. And then I think they've had sort of ebbs and flows. 2015 was all right. 2016 was pretty good. 2017 was really good, actually. 2017 was great. But this year has been on a whole other level.
Absolutely smash this year.
Yes, absolutely great. What are your thoughts?
I think I would probably agree with you on that one. I think it has been a stellar year for NXT. It's almost as if, I mean, the weekly show ebbs and flows, as you say. Takeover-wise, though, man, they haven't put a foot wrong, have they?
They haven't.
They can do no wrong.
I was thinking about this.
Admittedly, because they keep going to the well of, well, we could just do Ciampa and Gargano again.
Oh, Johnny Takeover.
They'll just smash it out of the park, won't they? It just doesn't matter.
And I know that a lot of people don't really put a lot of stock into the Dave Meltzer star ratings, but I think that you can't ignore the fact that they've had untold amounts of five-star matches, yes, at Takeover events this year from Dave Meltzer, because he's like, you can't deny that it's a great wrestling product. It's such a good show. And I was thinking about this earlier on today when I was kind of like thinking about the year as a whole. I can only think of one bad match on a Takeover show this year, which was EC3 versus the Velveteen Dream.
Yes.
And even then, EC3 had a concussion during the match, so there's almost like there's a big asterisk next to it. Be like, this match wasn't all that great because one of them suffered a concussion.
But EC3 still was pretty good for EC3 this year. You know, and he actually has improved since that Takeover as well. Like, his more recent TV stuff has been great. Like, everyone, like, that's the thing. This is the learning environment for WWE. Everyone is learning stuff. You know, people are established wrestlers and have done different things, but they might not have done as much TV. They might not be as good at promos. They might not be as good as this stuff. They're working on new in-ring stuff, from learning from Shawn Michaels, of all people. So, like,
I'm sure he's got a thing or two to say.
You know, there's always stuff to learn if Shawn Michaels is the teacher, I imagine. And you can see everyone just vastly improving as they go. But the strange thing is, even though it is the learning environment for WWE, it is a better product than Raw and SmackDown. And in a way that, like, I'm sure people who run Raw and SmackDown are probably in their own heads going, well, yeah, but it's not like the big TV product. It's not like, you know,
you try writing five hours of TV.
Yours is like an indie show, and ours is like a proper WWE style thing with these larger than life characters. Mm-hmm. NXT has told the best wrestling story probably of the year in Gargano and Ciampa.
WWE-wise, at the very least.
And across 2 years, that's happened.
Yeah.
And the reaction that Ciampa gets as a heel, as a bad guy, is better than any of the sort of cartoony ones you've got on Raw and SmackDown, and more genuine, but still fills that exact same bit of TV. People are booing him naturally when he walks out on the stage.
And people enjoy to boo him as well, yeah. I think, with Ciampa. It's not like when Kevin Owens was a heel. People always cheered him during matches because he was so entertaining on his promos and he was so entertaining to watch. So fans just naturally just like, well, this guy's brilliant. I'm going to cheer for him.
Yep.
But I think the NXT crowd and the NXT audience, and we are very much a part of this, just enjoy booing Ciampa. Just be like, ah, you dick, you broke up DIY, then you got injured, then you come back and you're the black eye and you're a proper knob, even though you're so entertaining on Twitter, you're still a div though, aren't you? And so I think we really enjoy having a pop at Ciampa.
Yeah.
And then by extension, we then got so into Johnny Gargano. I can't tell you how into that feud I was at the start of this year. Like, Almas Gargano at TakeOver Philadelphia at the start of the year was so good.
I don't think I've ever been more lively watching a wrestling match on my own. I'm sat on the sofa just constantly going like, oh, I just wanted him to win so bad.
Absolutely.
And I mean, the ending was perfect that he didn't actually, but during the match, I was rooting for him so hard.
Yeah.
I was just like, I can't handle this.
Exactly. And I suppose it's why, like, this year for NXT really has been, it's the story of Gargano Ciampa. It's the DIY story of 2018. But for me, it's the Gargano arc that I find most fascinating.
Yes.
Because he had that match with Almas in TakeOver. By the way, to compare Almas in NXT TakeOver Philadelphia to where he is now, granted, we've not seen, like, any of the, like, there's been two episodes of SmackDown since this, so he might be WWE champion at this point, and this might look like a bit
He's
of a
not.
Tool there.
He's not.
But I highly doubt that he is. That really might come back to bite me on the tush.
What a hot take that would have been. Exactly. You'd have predicted that accidentally.
But, like, so Gargano went from this, like, really everyone's favorite babyface, gunning for the championship. We all wanted him to win, and then Ciampa came back and he beat him up, and you were like, "You dick!" And then you had the unsanctioned match at TakeOver at New Orleans, and you were like, "Yes, Gargano finally got his retribution." But then it spun off even further, and it became the street fight in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And then this fascinating wrinkle was added to his character, where he's all of a sudden just has wash over him. It's like, I need to rid NXT of Tommaso Ciampa, and in order to do that, he is effectively turned heel. While still not acknowledging himself as a heel, he's not technically a heel, but he sort of is a heel. And it's just this, and it went into this Last Man Standing match at TakeOver Brooklyn 4, and then against Aleister Black at War Games, and it's continuing on with the cage match that we've not seen yet because it's happening this week.
But I know what happens.
And it's just like, what a fascinating story this man has had. And like the way, and I talked about this on the Ramble Club, the Patreon podcast that we do, how he sort of told that through his costumes.
Yes.
Granted, it's a bit meta. You could argue that, like, why would someone who is turning bad start dressing up as Venom? Essentially, I'm acknowledging that I'm turning heel.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I know. But, like, going from Captain America to the Punisher, like, Captain America at Philadelphia to the Punisher at War Games, I just think it's a fascinating story.
It's genius, and it's, I think, you know, the heel turn for him, or the whatever you want to call this, is such an interesting storyline to do from the perspective of having someone who feels like he has to go further than he's ever gone before. And obviously, like, Ciampa made it incredibly personal. And, like, you know, the spitting on the wedding ring, which was at the...
Which was the last man standing.
The street fight. Yeah, it was in the street fight that Ciampa spat on his ring and threw it away. And that's when Johnny decides to go too far in that match by bringing him back down to the ring on the stretcher. Mm. And that's when Ciampa picks up the win.
Yeah.
And the same thing happens at the, you know, the last man standing match. And so, obviously, like, at that, it's perfectly told that this is a man who just wants to punish this other person far more than he cares about winning the matches or doing anything or being the champion or whatever it is. I just think it's genius. And obviously they've had a year and a half slow burn build to this moment. And obviously that time frame has been extended by the fact that Ciampa was injured for so long. But it kind of helped the story by having him disappear for a bit.
Yeah.
Having Johnny Wrestling come out after the Ciampa thing and be like, I've been so used to being in DIY, we've been like this, blah, 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 blah. I need to be Johnny Wrestling now. And it all built, you know, from the end of midpoint of last year through to the end of last year.
Yeah.
And he was in the match for the championship against Almas, and that was the story. Ciampa was still the shadow hanging over it. And this year we've got to see the shadow turn into the big bad.
Exactly, finally. Yeah. So. And you go back to Brooklyn last year when it was Gargano Almas there. And it was he lost that match because Zelina Vega threw the DIY t-shirt at Gargano, and that distracted him because he got lost in himself. Just what an absolutely fascinating character and a fascinating journey that Johnny Gargano has had. And you couple that with Tommaso Ciampa just being, as you say, just a wonderful heel and a great champion. Remember when Ciampa came into NXT, I did think to myself, I just sort of looked at them, I was like, okay, you guys have been slotted into this tag team role. Mm. But because they're so good, they got themselves to become the most over tag team probably in all of WWE, arguably, certainly babyface-wise. And then you just look at him, you're like, you have to be the champion. Yeah. Like, you look at Gargano, and you're like, you have to be the champion. Yeah. Like, these guys, it's not you deserve it, Heat. It's just like, no, you have to be, because you're the most interesting characters. You're the most over characters we have. You have to be the main event of this show.
Yeah.
And to the point when they weren't champion, and the NXT champion was lower down the card because these were bigger storylines.
Yeah. Well, admittedly, also they kept ripping up all the ring stuff, so it was a bit of a probably have to go on last, mate. Otherwise, Drew's match is going to be a bit of a bit carnage.
It's just all admin,
just stepping around bits of slats and stuff.
Like, that LAX match.
But it's fascinating though. I think what's so good about NXT in general, and I think Ciampa and Gargano is the perfect sort of test case for this. That story has clearly been in place for a long time, and they have stuck to the guns.
Yep.
Like, and that's just something you don't see on the main roster shows. In the main roster shows, it'll just be like, you know, you hear stuff from Dave Meltzer saying like, oh, you know, maybe Drew's going to main event WrestleMania, or he's at least going to be going for the Universal title back then, and then you're like, Drew's getting pinned by Balor or by Dolph Ziggler or whatever it is, and suddenly like he's losing a bit of his momentum. And it's like, well, okay, there's ways we could have done all of this stuff while still keeping options open, but not ruining what you've already been doing for however long you've been doing it. And it just seems like this, just by sticking very basically, and also because Johnny Gargano doesn't wrestle on every episode of NXT. So when you're like, okay, it's been 3 weeks since we've seen him wrestle anything, I think, since TakeOver, and now we're getting him in this cage match, you're like, oh, I'm excited to see Johnny do a match again.
Yeah, and it's kind of the difference between NXT and the main roster in terms of the way that you have to structure a show. As you say, because like the Gargano thing, you don't have to have him wrestling on TV every week, because you're putting on a show for, you know, your 200, 300 people that are there at Full Sail.
Yeah, for the TV tapings. And he'll appear that night.
Absolutely, multiple times, no less. But when you do Raw and SmackDown, the way that WWE, at least the way I kind of read the way WWE do these things, is that they treat each episode as it's a live event, and people have paid to see certain people.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
Seth Rollins has to have a match because the fans have paid to see these guys, and so Seth has to have a match. He's one of these guys that people have paid to see.
But just have less time, more dark match.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so less time, a little more dark match. Like. Well,
and that's why you end up getting like oversaturation with some of these sort of guys and girls. But back on the NXT thing, and it's the other thing I really wanted to talk about in terms of like a great 2018 list. You know, it's been Gargano Ciampa, really their story. And now Aleister Black has got himself into that story as well, which I think has been really good. Because as much as I like Aleister Black, I don't think he's had a particularly brilliant 2018. No. Mostly because he's just been overshadowed by the Gargano Ciampa cloud, essentially. Whereas he has been having very good matches, like his match with Adam Cole. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed his match with Lars Sullivan, actually, for the NXT
Velveteen
Championship.
Dream was amazing.
Absolutely, yeah. Oh, man. I think that was last year.
Oh, sorry.
That was War Games last year. And he has had some other the matches here and there. And I thought, actually, these have been really, really good. But everything else above him has been sort of greater. Yes. That he's sort of like been almost forgotten. To the point where I think like it almost feels like he needs to get called up.
He needs to go.
Yeah I think he does need to be. He needs to ascend.
I think him having the title again is not really something that I'm particularly interested in watching anymore. Because I feel like the cool thing about Aleister Black's run in NXT was that he turned up. He was this amazing presence and entrance with this just devastating finishing move.
Oh,
and
mate.
Every time he does it, I'm just like, oh my God, I can't believe he's kicked his face off. And I think after that, you're kind of like, okay, we can have more matches like that and you can be the champion again. But you've capped out now. You know, same as Drew when he had the title for that 2-month period or whatever it was, dropped it to Almas and just went straight up. It's like, just let's just move people on. Like, it's fine.
As long as you've got...
Not everyone has to stick around as long as Gargano and Ciampa do.
Exactly, right? And they've been... And I almost think, actually, I mean, one of my notes I've got here is when you talk about the call-ups that could happen next year, Black Gargano and Ciampa seem like the obvious three.
Yes.
Because really, you're going to get to a point in NXT where their storyline is finished.
Yeah.
And the Ciampa-Gargano storyline is going to have a final chapter. And you almost then want to just make sure you never have to have them on the same show. So you put one on Raw, put one on SmackDown. Just so we can like almost separate them apart from each other so you don't dilute this storyline any further.
Yeah, and then you build to the idea that they eventually come together later on.
Exactly,
and then
people get,
like when 2 years down the line at a superstar shakeup, Ciampa comes out and jumps Gargano.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everyone goes, what?
What? Yeah, exactly. And you sort of rebuild it from there. So you kind of think that, yeah, these are the three. But before we get on to that, the other rise I wanted to talk about in terms of who's had an absolutely terrific 2018 is the Undisputed Era.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Like, you talk about a faction that has, like, they had a brilliant 2017 anyway, because they came in with lots of fire behind them when you had Cole, O'Reilly, and Fish. And you're like, God, these guys are cool. Mm-hmm. Their entrance music's cool. Boom. Like, I'm really enjoying this. And then the tag champs. And then this year, Adam Cole won the North American Championship. Mm-hmm. And they still had the tag team championship. Sadly, Bobby Fish got injured. And then all of a sudden, you just add this new element, because you've got Roderick Strong in there now. Yes. And you're like, oh, man. All
what
of a sudden,
story that was.
I was like, yeah, wasn't it just? And you know, you look at it, it's like, now it's this four-man faction. They are so good. Mm. And all four of them are back at fighting fit health. They have got something. Like, what a team it is.
But that's the thing, is that they are tailor-made for the takeover of NXT. You know, like, they are tailor-made to be all four champions.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's a really cool story to do. Do that. Bring in some new prospects who are going to work their way up, form their own four-man alliance, not maybe a faction or whatever. Have a four-man alliance against them to get all the titles back.
Yeah,
that'll be so. What is probably going to be their last year in NXT, if they are going to continue in NXT. Like, it sounds like they are, considering that Adam Cole said next year we'll all be dripping in gold last week.
Yeah.
So you've got to imagine they'll probably still be there. But
you
like,
say that though. But Lars Sullivan cut that promo saying I'm going to win the NXT championship, and now he's lurking.
Yeah,
he's lurking up on Raw now or whatever it is.
Shouldn't have cut the promo. Shouldn't have got on telly, Lars. Vince saw ya.
We've also recorded this before that Raw episode. We're saving this the night after TLC, so we haven't seen the Raw episode. Lars may have lurked and appeared. We don't know. He's WWE champion. Him and Elmas are fighting at the Rumble. I don't know.
Who knows?
I would like to see Undisputed have another 2019 again in, especially because you can move Adam Cole out of that North American picture and into the NXT Championship picture.
Absolutely,
and slot maybe Roderick Strong or Bobby Fish into that North American Championship, depending on what tag team you want to keep it. If you want to put Red Dragon back together, or you want to keep it as O'Reilly and Strong and have Fish going into the North American picture. And then you've got this new crop of guys that are coming in. In particular, you've got Matt Riddle, Keith Lee, and Dijakovic, who they clearly have got some big plans for, because they've been teasing his re-debut for a few weeks now. He debuted last week when you're watching this. So you've got to think that they've got something big in plan, or at least something in mind for him next year. And you read the house show reports, and it is always these lads. It's Keith Lee, Dijak, and Riddle facing each other.
Mm.
Like Keith Lee and Riddle are always sharing these things on Twitter, like, we're just always going to be fighting together. And they clearly love having these matches together. And they're the matches that are tearing the house down. So you've got to think, if you're the people in charge of NXT, you're looking at these reports, you're listening to these reactions, you're watching these matches, and you're like, well, that's our guys. Like, if we're losing Black, Gargano, and Ciampa, and we need to fill that void, it's all right, because we've got three already made guys here that we can easily make, as well as Adam Cole.
Yeah.
And that's your new main event scene.
It's perfect.
Sign me up, mate.
Yeah, I'm
like,
into it.
I'm well into that. I love Matt Riddle. I love Keith Lee. Dijakovic, I've only seen bits and pieces of, but him and Keith Lee had one of my favourite matches I've ever seen ever at PWG last year. Last year. So I think it's a really interesting main event scene, but it really, suppose, it depends on what's going to happen at the Superstar Shakeup next year after Mania.
True that. And I think the other thing I'm quite excited for in 2019 is the beginnings of proper cross promotion between NXT and NXT UK.
Absolutely.
And any other NXTs they decide to suddenly make coming up. But I just, yeah, I think we've had a minor taste of that this year with Mustache Mountain's continual sort of rise through mm-hmm. NXT. Pete Dunne turning up with the UK Championship as well. Mustache Mountain were the NXT Tag Team Championships for a very brief period. Had one of the best TV matches in NXT history, I think.
So good.
Against Undisputed Era.
And that six-man tag, the Undisputed Era versus British Strong Style from the UK show at Royal Albert Hall. Ollie and I are there for live for it, but I was pissed at me tits anyway because I was so leathered. But it was one of the most fun matches I've ever seen live. And re-watching it, I was like, God dang, it holds up. If you haven't, if that's a match you haven't seen this year, go back and check it out. It's fantastic. So good.
And the pop for when they win is unbelievable.
Oh, there was the six-man the night before.
Six-man, yeah.
And the tag.
Oh, that is fantastic.
Oh, yeah, and the tag the night after. Mm. Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely right. That was also absolutely awesome.
What an unbelievable tag team. But yeah, it's one of those things where I just think that it's ripe for that. You know, let's start having people go over, building stars over there. Let's get Rhea Ripley involved in the women's scene in NXT UK and NXT mm-hmm. proper. I don't know why you wouldn't do that in this scenario. Because especially when the UK brand is kind of coming to this stage where they're going to have to start filming it much more regularly because they're running out of those backlog of tapings that they did last year. It's the perfect thing to just have surprise NXT people turn up and compete. And the same thing actually goes for what we were saying on the Ramble last week and saying, why aren't more people coming down to NXT to have matches against the up-and-comers? Like, Tyler Breeze coming back to NXT obviously felt like a homecoming for someone who has actually been very underserved on the main roster. Mm-hmm. But there are people who have been served on the main roster, like your Cesaros, your Finn Balor's,
Seth
who,
Rollins.
If they ever came back down to NXT just for one match, feels like a massive deal and probably isn't a hell of a lot out of their actual schedule.
Well, no.
You know.
Quite, especially for your sanity. Like, I mean, to be honest, you could probably handpick any of the NXT call-ups.
From last year, yeah. And they'll be like, yeah, cool, my schedule's clear, actually.
I've actually got loads of time on my hands. I'll just pop down the WWE Championship that I won, and I'll go down there for a bit. I could definitely see them doing, like, the NXT versus NXT UK thing. Like, one of the big predictions we kept getting last year was people saying, like, oh, why didn't they do WWE versus NXT at Survivor Series rather than do Raw versus SmackDown? I actually think I'd be more interested in NXT versus NXT UK at War Games next year.
Yes.
And you kind of have, like, the best of the best of NXT, so it's not the Undisputed Era again, but it may be, like, Adam Cole teaming with Keith Lee and Matt Riddle, so it's like, we have to move aside our differences to form this alliance so we can prove that we are the better NXT brand.
Yes.
And you couple that with, like, the rumour that they're going to open up some more of these camps. It's NXT Germany and NXT Saudi Arabia, I believe, are the two. Those are the ones that are most likely to be opened next. But then you've also got NXT South America, NXT Japan that they want to do. So there's always, like, these sort of territories and stuff. But NXT UK, they've clearly got plans in place. They're doing a takeover show in January.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they've got, like, it's a money-losing venture. They're making diddly squat from this product. They're making diddly squat from NXT, in fairness. Mm. But they've clearly got something in mind of what they would like to do with this and use it as these sort of territories. So you want to try and make the most of that. If you've got a good chunk of fans over here who aren't watching this product, just have that product featured over here so those fans then move over and start watching that product as well.
I mean...
we spent
it
a lot...
It's simple when you spell it out, doesn't it? It's just...
So we spent a bit of time talking about the male side of the roster and the great stuff they've done, but I suppose we should really move on to talking about the ladies of NXT, and in particular the absolutely brilliant year that Shayna Baszler has had. And it's... I love her. I think she's so, so good. I just think she's great.
I think she's a... Yeah, and I think we've said this multiple times before on The Ramble that she is a total package.
Oh, yeah, she is.
Like we discussed the idea that, you know, she's not necessarily had, like, you know, she's not a Ciampa or Gargano. She's not putting on 5-star matches everywhere she goes.
No.
But she's having very consistently good matches with great storytelling, awesome character work. She's one of the few women, I think, in any of the WWE, like, any bit of their roster that feels like a genuine badass threat. Like, Becky Lynch feels like a badass over here, but, like, Shayna Baszler feels like I don't want to ever get in a fight with her because she will snap my arm.
Absolutely, yeah. You'd look at when she was feuding with Ember Moon earlier this year and, like, how they sort of wove Dakota Kai into that story just to facilitate the Ember Moon Shayna Baszler stuff. And then Baszler moved on to reignite her feud with Kairi Sane, which sort of, like, dominated the summer and autumn months. And now, as we get into the winter, into 2019, that Dakota Kai seed that was planted is now sprouting up over here. So now Dakota Kai can get back into this sort of feud with Shayna Baszler. I think that's really great storytelling.
It's fantastic. It's just, and I think she just, the other thing I think that is interesting about Shayna Baszler this year is the fact that she has been present on the main roster in sort of spirit too.
Yeah, it's
very interesting that she's been, you know, Rousey has been in the crowd for her matches. She has been in the crowd for Rousey matches. And we're building to this, we're clearly building now to an idea of the Four Horsewomen versus the Four Horsewomen somewhere down the line, because Duke and Shafir have also appeared from somewhere. And so, like, this could be some of the most brilliant long-term storytelling cross-brand WWE has ever done.
Yeah.
Beyond, you know, Kevin Owens turning up with the NXT title and challenging John Cena just to prove that he's the better champion. Like, beyond that sort of stuff, there's not been a lot of, like, friction. And we were just saying, you know, a minute ago, let's have a war games between NXT and WWE.
Yeah.
This is that, really. This is the option to do that. And we're doing it through this specific bit of storytelling with Shayna Baszler bringing two of her friends in with her. They're all heels. All we need now is Rousey to turn heel. You've got this perfect faction that's already formed. All she needs to do is slot into it.
Yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah, it's interesting you talk about the 4-on-4 aspect of that, because we're talking about like the war games of doing NXT UK versus NXT. The first female war games next year.
Ooh.
With your horsewomen versus a group, you know, another group, whether it be Baszler, Duke and Shafir plus other, maybe it's not Ronda. But
drafting Ronda.
I know, drafting Ronda, but like, it does make it seem so much better. But if it is just those three plus other, AN other, versus four other, and you advertise it, you know, you do the big, it's the first ever, and it would be like, you know, the first ever women's War Games match. That seems like that's a really cool idea.
It's a fantastic seller of tickets.
Surely.
But
the question is though, is Baszler going to be around? Because as you say, we've been teasing this idea of doing the Horsemen versus Horsemen. We've been teasing that since, you know, the Mae Young Classic 2 years ago now, or we're getting on for 2 years ago. So
everyone doing this at each other.
Well, that's how feuds have started now. It's that and Twitter. Like, that's how feuds have done. So if she is going to be called up to the main roster, if she, Duke and Shafir are going up to the main roster, so that you can do this horsewoman thing, that does open out the playing field for the other women of NXT. Because if I'm talking about other women that are going to get called up, Nikki Cross has got to go, surely.
There's nothing more for Nikki to do.
There's nothing for her to do.
Like, she's just, you know, now she's just doing this I'm being chaos
thing.
I don't know. Like
she's an addition to an Alistair Black story.
Yeah, she just turns up and goes, and now that's it, you know. And then, but then she got a win the other week when she had a match, didn't she?
Yes, against Candice.
Yeah, so it's just like, I don't know what they're doing with Nikki Cross. And I don't know, because I feel like she is also the thing that Sanity possibly needs. Just make them something worthwhile to have on SmackDown. You know,
totally.
Like, stick Nikki Cross in there and have her go wild on like male wrestlers in matches, and people will suddenly be like, oh my god, this faction's really interesting now. You know, they've got a, massive guy, they've got a crazy woman, and then they've got a really solid tag team at the center of
and
that.
And an Eric Young.
Yeah, yeah.
So unless Nikki Cross is going to win the NXT Women's Championship, unless you do the storyline of she has been here for X amount of years and she's never won the title, and we're going to do that real big push, which doesn't really suit her character much.
Does she care?
Does she care? But that seems to be like the only thing you could do with her at this point. Because I don't look at Nikki Cross and be like, yeah, you need to stay in NXT for a little bit. Like, she's done everything she possibly can do there other than win the title.
I think she's just a safe pair of hands. And that's what they're treating her as. And, you know, I think that's the key with Nikki, is that she's obviously, like, she's been chucked into other people's feuds or just dropped into, like, Shayna Baszler didn't have anything to do for a while, so they just went, hey, you can have a thing with Nikki Cross for a bit.
Yeah, exactly.
And it kind of works. Like, we can just make it sort of work.
Yeah.
And then you can also, the brilliance of her character is you can immediately drop it afterwards because she's seen something shiny off in the corner and she's like, oh, that thing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the story was that that's why she was kept back away from Sanity, is because the NXT Women's Division got gutted for the Royal Rumble.
Yes.
You know, they lost all three members of the Riot Squad, and they lost two members in Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. And I was like, well, that's five of our women. That's pretty much half of our division gone. So we had to keep Nikki Cross there to be like a bit of a figurehead while we kind of figure out what we're doing. But they got to the point now where, I mean, I was going through the list, they have figured it out.
Yeah.
You've got Dakota Kai, you've got Mia Yim, you've got Lacey Evans, you've got Io Shirai, you've got Kairi Sane, you've got Candice LeRae. That's just a handful of people.
Mm.
You can add Vanessa Bourne into that list as well.
Yeah.
There's countless people that were in the Mae Young Classic that you could bring across. There's loads of Dainara Conte or whatever her name is. She's really cool as well.
Dainara Conte,
thank you. So, like, there's plenty of women there. They don't need Nikki Cross to be like, oh, just in case.
Yeah.
Just in case everything goes nipples north.
Don't need a pocket cross.
Exactly, yeah. And so if Shayna does go up, there is if Shayna goes up and Nikki goes up, you have got a really good crop of NXT women that could carry this company or carry this brand into 2019.
It's one of those things that it needs freshening. Like, like we have had the Shayna story this year, and it does feel like that was the women's division story, because the rest of the time, NXT TV shows do generally have people come out, Lacey Evans, punch someone in the face, pin them, and that's about
the women's rat.
And that's about the match, really, isn't
it,
a lot of the time. So it would be nice to see some other people elevated to that stage, because there's only really room for four matches per show anyway. It would be nice to see some other people elevated to, you know, main eventing the TV show at least.
Yeah.
Who aren't Bianca Belair. So
That's another name. I didn't put up Bianca Belair, because I wonder if she's going to get the call up as well. I think she's going to be one of those people that as soon as they, like, they've got something really good in her, it's be like, well, why are we wasting time with her in NXT? Let's just bring her up to the main roster. Be a surprise entrant in the Rumble. At the very least, I could see her being a surprise entrant in the Rumble. Or showing my hand a little bit for the prediction show, because that's not going out until New Year's Day, I think, which we're also pre-recording. My prediction is she's going to win the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal.
Oh.
Like, almost like, you know, when Baron Corbin did it, he won the Andre the Giant one, and it did wonders for him. Like,
yeah, he's done great.
Yeah.
He's going to be general manager soon enough.
Shaving her head and wearing waistcoats.
And then not anymore.
Can't shave her head, though. It takes away one of her weapons. So, yeah, I think that the NXT Women's Division, to kind of put a bow onto that conversation, I think it's had a solid year.
Mm.
It's not had a stellar year like the men's division has had.
No, but it's been, funnily enough, for a division with Kairi Sane in it, smooth sailing. It has been, you know, it has just been the year it's been. I don't know, there's not really much. They haven't done a crazy amount of storytelling.
No.
It doesn't feel like anything's life or death. A lot of it has also been absorbed into what the men are doing. You know, Candice LeRae has been very much in the Gargano feud.
Mm.
Nikki Cross has been in that a little bit. Like, everyone's kind of getting absorbed in the wider NXT universe. It'd be nice next year if Shayna Baszler does go up, which I think she blooming well should. And I think Duke and Shafir should just be fast tracked too, most likely. But like, let's just fast track all them lot up to the top. Have a nice clear division.
Yeah.
let's see what Io Shirai can do.
Well,
against everyone else.
I mean, and it's funny as well, because I know a few people often say, like, oh, you can't bring up Duke and Shafir because they're not ready. I was like, well, Ronda Rousey technically wasn't ready.
No.
But they rehearse her matches to the nines where every one of her matches is flawless.
Yes.
Like, it's very hard to find an error in a Ronda Rousey match because she's very good at rehearsing it and then performing it in front of a crowd.
Yes.
So we've just applied the same logic to the other three, and you're all right.
Like, yeah, they've all got very similar backgrounds and similar training.
Yeah, totally.
It's all body manipulation and then you learn selling, I guess.
Exactly, like learning a dance routine.
Yeah.
Or the alternative is that Baszler...
Which we're so good at.
The alternative is Baszler, Duke and Shafir do stay in NXT and you kind of build the women's division as like they're essentially the female version of the Undisputed Era.
I would worry about that though. I think it's too samey for what you...
Yeah.
I want to see the Undisputed Era dominate more than I want to see the Horsewomen in NXT dominate, even though both I think would be very good stories.
Yeah.
But I think those three are much better served on the main roster where they instantly go and become attached to the feud of next year.
Yeah, completely agree. And then lastly, we'll just quickly talk about the tag team division in 2018, which we kind of sort of covered already because it was mostly the Undisputed Era and Mustache Mountain for a little bit. But we also did get to see Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan
have their breakthrough match.
Oh, man. You talk about like a star-making performance. Like that. And it's so funny because they did a video package about this on an episode of NXT. And it's like, I love how brutally honest they were about it, which was just like, we went into that match. No one gave a toss.
Yeah.
Like, no one cared. Mm. Because everyone was like, why the hell are these two lads getting a shot at the NXT Tag Team Championships? But by the end of that match, everyone was like, I want to see a rematch.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see more. I want to see more of them. And I'd really like to see more of Burch and Lorcan.
Banging my Oney Lorcan drum, being like, he's so good.
He slaps people so hard.
He's always losing. And then he was just like, this year was suddenly like, oh, he's winning stuff. And I was always sitting there just going like, who is this one guy who's in all of these matches with his strange, strange name. And yeah, doing that. But I was like, he is fantastic. He made Drew McIntyre look amazing.
Yep.
He had so many matches against top guys in NXT. And it wasn't just a squash match. It was he did some really cool stuff, and then they overcame, and they looked amazing. He was a star maker before Velveteen Dream was the star maker.
Mm-hmm.
And now, yeah, he's doing that in a tag division with Danny Burch, who is like the safest pair of hands.
Oh, isn't he just? And like, this is such a stacked roster of tag teams. You got the Undisputed Era, Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan, Heavy Machinery, Street Profits, technically you could include Mustache Mountain in there, War Raiders, Forgotten Sons, and quite recently, we've seen Humberto Carrillo and Raul Mendoza, my new favorite tag team in the whole world.
My hot pick for tag champs next year. Tag champs next year.
Because they're so good. All they need now is a tag team name.
They're amazing.
So good. So that's a really stacked tag team division. Mm. And unless some of those get called up and not used on Raw and SmackDown, because that's what tag teams do when they go up. A lot of these are going to fall to the wayside. Unfortunately,
hey, mate, they get to be on kickoff shows.
I suppose, sometimes. Tell that to Sanity. unfortunately, we haven't got the Mighty on there anymore.
No.
Because it's Nick Miller.
The report is that he's been released, but chances are he asked for it because he's just had a baby. So he's gone back to Australia. To be with his wife, I assume.
Which is a very nice and honourable thing to do. From what I did read, it was like a bit of an amicable split, and it wasn't like, hey, it's no hard feelings, you know, if you want to come back in a year's time.
Yeah, it sounds like the door's open, so you know, maybe we'll see the Mighty again, maybe he'll just go back to work in the Australian circuit.
Yeah, and you know, and not only that, but they talked about NXT Australia, so maybe he can just wait till that happens over there, and Shane Thorne can go across with him, and they'll just revive the Mighty over there. New top baby five, says Mike.
That's a terrible accent.
Yeah, it's pretty spot on if you ask me.
I meant the Australian. I didn't before anyone has a go in the class.
Nice. So I think it's for tag team division in 2018, I think we kind of covered it because we talked about the Undisputed Era so much. I would easily go back and watch, actually I'd probably watch all of the tag team matches that have been on takeover shows, because that Burch and Lorcan match has been great. The three-way one from Brooklyn, it was Brooklyn, wasn't it, which was Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly versus Pete Dunne and Roderick Strong versus...
Oh, with The Turn.
Yes, with The Turn, yes. Was that All the Pain? No, it wasn't All the Pain. They'd been called up by then. Who the player was it? I'm telling you what. Let's Google things live on air. Let's get
Googling
the card.
Things live on air.
It's lucky enough, I've actually...
I feel like it was the War. I feel like it was AOP, but no, it can't have been.
Okay, well, that's...
Roddy was their mate.
TakeOver Brooklyn 4. It might not have been TakeOver Brooklyn 4, to be honest.
That was Mustache Mountain. It was much more recent.
Hang on. This is terrible. This is terrible audio in particular, but it's also terrible just...
dead air.
Broadcasting. And Birch and Lorcan. That's wrong. That's not right.
No, that's not.
Did the Strong...
I think it was maybe last year then.
Was the Strong heel turn last year then?
I guess so. That's the thing is there's actually so few...
No, it was at a... it was the Undisputed Era defeated the Authors of Pain. The Authors of Pain versus Pete Dunne and Roderick Strong. Yeah, it was at... it's because I thought it was after... Mania, but it wasn't. It was Mania Weekend.
It's because they gifted the tag team title. He gifted the tag team titles to the Undisputed Era in a match that they weren't going to win.
That's right.
Perfect.
There we go. Thank God we're all on the same page now. Thank God we're all here.
I feel like the tag division is still going to be dominated by the Undisputed Era next year.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be nice to see the War Raiders get a bit closer to getting the titles in a one-on-one kind of scenario because I think they're fantastic.
So good.
Hansen is. Pretty damn injured following the War Games match. Broken ribs.
Broken ribs and all.
Smushed up spleen, something else. I don't know.
That was the actual medical term, yeah?
Wobbly, knobbly knees. I don't know. He's got problems. But they're amazing. I'd like to see Street Profits in the title picture because they are dripping in charisma.
You know
they're
how I so feel good. About them. You know how I feel about Street Profits. They're my boys.
Wicked.
They're so good. Like, oh, man. He's so charismatic.
Mm.
It's ludicrous.
Yes.
How good he is. Holy heckins. And I suppose the last thing we need to talk about, which we haven't really touched upon, is the North American Championship picture. We kind of sort of talked about it like if using the Undisputed Era, but we haven't talked about Ricochet or Velveteen Dream, these other guys that can easily just like make that jump from one division into that main event picture that we were kind of talking about earlier with the Lee and Riddle stuff. And you just got to think, I mean, I thought as a whole, 2018 is the best year that NXT has ever had. But then you kind of look at 2019 and this list of guys and girls you got there, and you're like, it has every chance to be a better year, which is staggering.
I can definitely see Ricochet dropping the belt, moving up, and then I think probably Matt Riddle, top title picture, Adam Cole, top title picture, Bobby Fish, Keith Lee, and Velveteen Dream in that sort of area is a very nice sounding thing to me.
Oh man, what if they do another ladder match? Like they make that like the WrestleMania weekend tradition
to do a ladder match,
like the 7-man ladder match, and you have like Keith Lee, Dijakovic, Riddle in there.
Punishment Martinez
is another name. Yeah, like a real like basically using that match every year to be like, here is your new top mid-card guy.
Yes.
Pay attention. He's going to be featured a lot.
He's going to flip over the ropes.
He'll do a big old flip.
That was fantastic. That's my best promo of the year.
Oh, God. Well, the Ricochet Velveteen Dream
jumps
one.
Jumps over the ropes. It's incredible.
So good. There's been some...
And if Velveteen Dream wasn't such a knob on the microphone, it wouldn't have been half as good because he's so fantastic.
If you had to, I'm going to put you on the spot here because I haven't prepped this either. But if you had to pick your favorite NXT match, TV, TakeOver, anything, if you had to pick one, what would it be?
I think the final Ciampa Gargano match.
The Last Man Standing.
Yes, the Last Man Standing. I know a lot of people think the second one is better. But I think the third one is better because it's the culmination of the story.
Which is very, absolutely.
And that is, I think, that is probably my favourite match of the year. I loved Aleister Black and Johnny Gargano from TakeOver War Games 2. That was incredible. The War Games match was incredible. I mean, it's so hard. There's so many good...
Like, I know.
It's one of those things where it's like... Because every so often they just have a crazy good match on TV as well. And you're like,
how...
You've no right. Like
Ricochet Adam Cole.
Ricochet Adam Cole. The kick to the head.
I know.
Oh my God. Yeah. There's so much.
It's almost impossible to pick because I put you on the spot and asked you that question. While I was like, I'm going to make him answer the question while I stall for time and think about my own answer. And I just kept going, like,
so
yeah, there's that. Oh, yeah, there's that. Oh, God, there's that. And, like, again, talking about Almas Gargano at the start of the year.
That was incredible.
The Only Lorcan Danny Burch tag team match at TakeOver, whichever it was. Just. Wall to wall, bell to bell, like it is dripping in swagoo. Like in terms of like, what a great year!
What phrase is that? It's so good. Luke made up a phrase.
I did. I'm just making up words now. I always wondered.
It's got
like
swagoo up the wazoo.
Yeah, I always like. I kind of like fantasy book podcasts in my head sometimes, being like, oh, if I had time, like, I would love to do that as a podcast. And I always thought about me, you, and Simon doing like an NXT podcast, but not reviewing the current product, going right back to the start, like 2013 NXT, and reviewing it week by week.
We'll do it.
And I was like, that'd be such a really fun use of my time. Like, I've got too many other projects on at the moment, but I'd love to be able to do it. But the part of me, when I'd be doing that, I'd be like, God, I just want to fast forward to get to 2014, though. Like, let's just cycle through some of this. We can get 2014. And then I'd be thinking, oh, God, I just want to rewatch 2018 again. I almost feel like I want to do that podcast just to give me an excuse to watch this again.
Just keep doing matches. I think we just pick matches. It's probably a better way to don't watch it week to week. Yeah. Barely got time to watch it actual week to week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.